I'm right here. I got an idea.
Welcome to the Litflix podcast, episode 13. We're back, bitches.
Here we are. And we're back.
We took a small 3-month hiatus. Was it 3 months? Maybe more.
It was just a little 90-day breather.
We had some mental breakdowns.
I just had, you know, like some emotional disturbances that I needed to work through. So there we go.
And then you picked a book to do next and it almost killed me and it sent me in a downward spiral. So we scrapped that book and moved on.
I didn't even think about the repercussions of that book. I'm so sorry. It was Rosemary's Baby, which is like one of my all-time favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never read the book. So what made you like go into a deep, dark depression?
I am not 100% sure, but like my brain snapped and I couldn't deal with it.
I'm so sorry.
And I like went off the rails for a little bit.
I am so sorry. That makes me feel like such a bad friend.
It's fine. You didn't know how I was going to react.
Well,
I had never read the book or watched the movie, so I didn't know what was headed my way. I mean, obviously, I know what it's about.
Right.
But I wasn't ready for how it was going to affect me.
Yeah.
And it, like, put me in a really dark place for a while.
Can I just say that's really cool that that book has such far-reaching consequences still to this day? Like, that just goes to show how well-written it was.
I guess. It was...
I'm sorry. I'm just speaking objectively.
Like, I can't wait to drop that book off at, like, a free little library put it onto somebody else because I cannot take it.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I can't handle it. It was not for me.
Did you watch the movie?
Nope.
Okay.
I couldn't deal.
Oh. That makes me so sad. I'm sorry that happened.
That's okay.
I'm glad we're back. On. Huh?
We have moved on.
We have moved on to something much sillier.
Very much sillier. It is Pride and Prejudice and Zombies by Jane Austen and Seth Graham Smith.
Yes.
Should I tell you that I'm Casey?
Oh, yeah. And I'm Abby.
These episodes are explicit and they do contain spoilers. We read the book. We watched the movie. We are getting a little bit drunk and we're going to talk about it tonight.
Yep. What are you drinking?
I am drinking vodka with grapefruit ice water, the brand ice, not just ice cubes and water.
Yeah, that would taste watered down and gross.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious. I am drinking a lovely Kirkland Rosé. It's something called Cortez de Provence.
Oh.
I don't know how the fuck. It's like
Captain Cortez?
No.
Oh.
There's no Z.
Okay.
It's like, I think it's supposed to say Cortez. Or Cortez de Provence. It's supposed to be like super French.
Oh.
But it's Kirkland. So it just tastes like alcohol that came from a barrel. It doesn't really taste like real good wine. But I felt like it was Austin-y.
Not like a fancy barrel of wine, just like a garden barrel of wine.
We pulled it out of the compost barrel.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I shit on Kirkland alcohol all the time, but it's all I drink.
You like keep buying it?
Because it's so affordable.
I am obsessed with Tito's vodka. It's like my favorite.
I got turned on to extra dirty vodka martinis with Tito's. And it's like, I didn't think I was into savory alcohol, and I super totally am.
I love Tito's. It's great with anything. And I never get headaches with it, so.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Kettle One gives me the worst migraines in the world.
Did it really?
Mm-hmm. Every time I drink it, I feel like my head's going to explode.
I don't even know if I've ever had it.
It's awful.
If it's not well vodka, I probably haven't had it. Listen, I'm like really cheap. I don't know if you know this about me.
Well, I bought this bottle. It's a giant bottle. I bought it at Costco.
Oh, that makes me so mad.
For $26.
That's not fair.
And at my regular liquor store, the normal bottle is like $20. So yeah. I felt like I got a real good deal here.
Yeah, you did. I can't go to Costco and get liquor because I live in a stupid puritanical babysitting state where I have to go to a liquor store. So
mm-hmm. You don't really have any fancy liquor stores either. Like most of the ones that I've seen in Oregon have like basically bars on the windows. They're kind of sketch.
Yeah, I'm afraid to go in them. I don't, you know, I'm like afraid to be seen there.
And they seem really tiny.
Oh, yeah, they're super small.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
Like, here we have these nice, huge, sprawling liquor stores. It's pretty amazing.
You do have a lot of space in Colorado, though.
We do have a lot of space. We have a lot of things.
It's like a Dixie Chick song.
The craziest thing has happened to me since we last recorded.
Oh, no.
And, okay, so growing up, I grew up in Portland, Oregon. You prepare for earthquakes.
Okay.
Okay, earthquake preparedness. That is the name of the game.
Hiding under the desk, getting into a door frame, all that business.
100%. You have an earthquake kit, all of this. The ground's going to shake. The continental whatever is going to split off. Like, okay, this is what I was raised for.
Right. I got you.
Okay. There have been tornadoes.
No.
Like, close, and the warning sirens went off.
Mm-mm.
And I legit did not know what to do. Like, my house has a stone, or it, like, the foundation is really solid. So we went under there, and then I was reading houses can shift if it's on cinder blocks or something, depending on the foundation you have. So I don't even know if I did the right thing.
That's terrifying.
I don't know what to do with tornadoes. It scares the crap out of me.
Oh my God. I would be so scared.
I feel like tornadoes are so specific. An earthquake, you're like wiping out a city. A tornado, it's like, oh, fuck your house. You're fine. Fuck your house. Like, it's so particular that there is no rhyme or reason.
Oh my God. They do. They leap, don't they?
Yeah.
And I've never, so, oh no, that scares me.
I am highly unprepared to live here. And as soon as the tornado watching, like, warnings start popping up on my phone, I'm like, oh, it's fine. But then the outside warning sirens went off, and all I can think in my head is Twister.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh shit, I need like a chain to tie myself to something because. Oh my
God.
I don't know what's coming. I don't know what to do. I don't know that I was meant to live in a tornado area.
I think you need to do some research. I think you need
I
to
definitely
have,
do.
Yeah, like your doomsday prep kit ready.
I took my daughter into the house and I made her wear like snow boots and I let her watch PJ Masks on my phone. Aww. And I'm like, we're fine, we're safe. And fuck if I know we're safe or not.
And you're sitting there peeing your pants.
Basically, because I don't know what to do with a tornado.
Do you not have like a tornado shelter somewhere near that you're supposed to go to? Like they blast sirens, but that doesn't tell you what the fuck to do.
No, you only have like a couple minutes to do something. And by the time the sirens went off, the tornado had already touched down like a mile from my house.
Oh my God.
And so you literally have minutes.
I would shit my pants.
Places, like, I know the airport has tornado shelters. My husband's work has tornado shelters.
I was going to say, I bet his work is super safe. Of course. Mm-hmm. It's great and fine and wonderful.
Right.
And you're stuck at home.
I went to the chiropractor today. There was a tornado shelter there.
Okay, good to know. How many minutes away is the chiropractor?
It is 30 minutes away.
You can't, that won't work. Not a good
that
plan.
That will not work. And like I said, all I see in my head is Twister.
That's so all I would see too.
I feel like there's no time and you're randomly just screwed.
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
It was a small tornado, and so I don't need to blow this out of proportion, but
it's like, still scary.
Just, you know, earthquakes I'm fine with because that's what I was raised with.
Same. I'm a California girl. I get it. Earthquakes, yes. I can handle.
an earthquake preparedness. Like, you know yeah. what to do if there's an earthquake. It's been drilled into our heads since children.
Yes, absolutely. Kindergarten.
And I used to be like, who the hell would live in, like, Tornado Alley? Why would you do that?
Well, yeah, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Well, now I've got tornadoes, so.
Chris, my husband, he says that if you live in a floodplain, like, New Orleans.
You deserve to get flooded.
Yeah. I'm like, you're an asshole. Shut the fuck up. People have lived there for generations upon generations.
I know. Anyway. And most people can't afford to move.
Also, global warming is a thing. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
Except it's not called that. It's called climate change because people are morons. But the big earthquake is supposed to, like,
wipe out.
Like, my house would technically be.
It would disappear. It's from west of the I-5, if I remember right.
Exactly. So I wouldn't get drowned. I would get, like, eaten whole.
Swallowed into by the earth.
Yeah. Which is fine.
I mean, if you're going to go, you might as well go at the beginning. Surviving seems so difficult. Should we get into tonight's little episode?
Sure. Why not?
I might be the least prepared I've ever been for an episode tonight.
Me too. I'm so excited. It's going to be so much yes. fun. Yes.
Skype Hi. High five.
Skype five.
Our author, do you want me to start there?
Sure.
Okay. So this book actually is co-authored by Jane Austen, and I did not write down facts about her because if you don't know, then you're screwed.
Yeah, talk about beating a dead horse.
Yeah, the other, I guess maybe if we do like a real Jane Austen book, we can talk about her.
Yeah.
The other author is Seth Graham Smith. I think that's how you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
And he was born in Rockville Center, New York in 1976. He grew up in Weston and Bethel, Connecticut. Hmm. And his parents divorced when he was a child, so his mother changed his surname to Graham after the author Kenneth Graham.
That's stupid.
Yeah, and later the surname Smith was from her getting remarried.
Huh. His dad must have really sucked.
Let me see what his... So...
But it makes sense because Connecticut is like the England of the U.S., right?
Sure. So his original name was Seth Greenberg.
That's way cooler.
Yeah. So anyway, she changed their name after the author.
Okay.
His mother was a literary editor and his stepfather was a rare books dealer.
Okay. Can you have a cooler upbringing?
Right. So he received a degree in film from Emerson College, and he currently lives in LA with his wife and two sons.
Cool.
I don't know. I was reading about where, like, this idea came from. Did you see any of that?
No, but it was a question I had in my mind.
Okay, so the idea came from his editor, Jason Rakulak. And so using Jane Austen's classic novel as a platform, Jason suggested that Seth mix a zombie plot into the public domain novel.
Oh, okay.
So he loved this idea and he started working on it first by reading Pride and Prejudice and then just by inserting zombie elements.
Yeah, you can tell that it was half-hearted.
He said the process is similar to microsurgery. And he said, like, he had the public domain one up and he would type his section in red and he'd be like, oh, this part doesn't have enough red. And so he would type more.
Oh my God, that is such a bullshit way to write a book.
And, like, okay, I could write this book then. I'm not trying to shit on him, but at the same time, I want to shit on him for this.
Yeah, it's a little, it's so half-hearted and lazy. And
literally anybody in the world could have done this.
Yeah.
You can go take any public domain novel and do this.
Which is kind of a cool idea if you're going to do it right.
I guess.
Yeah.
So it says, although Quirk Books was initially reluctant to publish this in fear of alienating Austen's fans, the novel went to press in 2009 with modest sales expectations. In the prior weeks to release, however, the book's popularity swelled dramatically as the cover and the title of the novel circulated the internet. Anticipation for the book grew so rapidly that in the first week of release, it surged to number 3 on the New York Times bestseller list. Since that time, the novel has sold over 1 million copies and been translated into over 20 languages.
Cool, bro.
Right?
There's a quote on the back of the book from Entertainment Weekly that says, "I am officially beyond stoked for this book."
Okay. This was a my pick because
I was excited to read it too.
I had been really excited to read this, and yeah. I had seen the trailers for the movie, which looked great. And here was my best example. So for Jane Austen's famous, "It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife," he simply changed it to, "It is a truth universally acknowledged that a zombie in possession of brains must be in want of more brains." So there you go with that.
There's that. Do you want me to read the plot? Are you ready or not?
Yeah.
Okay, with that quote, it actually leads into the plot. This is just from the back of the book, because everybody knows, honestly, what Pride and Prejudice is about. So begins Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, an expanded edition of the beloved Jane Austen novel featuring all new scenes of bone-crunching zombie mayhem. As our story opens, a mysterious plague has fallen upon the quiet English village of Meryton, and the dead are returning to life. Feisty heroine Elizabeth Bennet is determined to wipe out the zombie menace, but she's soon distracted by the arrival of the haughty and arrogant Mr. Darcy. What ensues is a delightful comedy of manners with plenty of civilized sparring between the two young lovers and even more violent sparring on the blood-soaked battlefield. Can Elizabeth vanquish the spawn of Satan and overcome the social prejudices of the class-conscious landed gentry, complete with romance, heartbreak, sword fights, cannibalism, and thousands of rotting corpses? Pride and Prejudice and Zombies transforms a masterpiece of world literature into something you'd actually want to read. Fuck you, Quirk Books. That is
the most untrue statement I have heard.
That is so condescending.
It's just not.
I didn't hate this book until I read that last sentence. I actually hadn't read the synopsis on the back before that, and that's bullshit.
I didn't hate this book until about 3/4 of the way done, when I was just done.
When you realized that nothing was actually different.
Yes. That is when I was over it. And okay, I'll get into that in a few minutes. So. Okay. I'll talk about the movie was written and directed by Burr Steers. He wrote the screenplay for How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Oh, cute.
And he also directed Charlie St. Cloud in 17 Again.
Okay, I've never seen either of those.
Okay. They're both Zac Efron movies.
Right, yeah.
So the movie stars Lily
James. Oh, isn't Matthew Perry in 17 Again?
Yes.
Was he on drugs still at that point or not?
Is he fat in that movie?
I think he might be a little fat.
So then, no, he's not on drugs anymore.
Is that the key to physical fitness?
Massive amounts of drugs. That is how you get fit. Don't ever take advice from us.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay.
Okay. So the movie stars Lily James as Elizabeth Bennet, Sam Riley as Mr. Darcy, who's nowhere near cute enough to play him.
Oh, I had that question in my notes.
I have it in my quotes more than once.
I literally said, is Mr. Darcy hot?
No, I typed it multiple times that he is not hot enough to be this.
Okay.
Bella Heathcott as Jane. Douglas Booth as Mr. Bennett. And I will say right here, I feel like the guy who, Douglas Booth, is the perfect amount of cute and useless to play this character to perfection.
Wait, Mr. Bennett or Mr. Bingley?
Mr. Bingley.
Okay, you said Mr. Bennett and I was
sorry,
like, what?
Sorry, Douglas Booth is Mr. Bingley. Sally.
I'm sorry, he is super, like, preternaturally good looking.
Yes, and looks to be dumb as a rock. And so I feel like he's adorable. Perfect.
He is perfect.
Sally Phillips is Mrs. Bennett. Charles Dance, a.k.a. Tywin Lannister, is Mr. Bennett. His daughter, Cersei, also known as Lena, is Lady Catherine de Bourgh. And nice. Matt Smith, Doctor Who 11, is Mr. Collins.
Also dating Lily James in real life. Slash was.
Are they still dating? They were I don't know. I have that later. They were dating when they filmed this, but I don't know if they're still together.
Okay. Also, Charles Dance was in the Alien sequel. I don't remember what it was called. The Alien sequel that David Fincher directed. It was like number 4 or number 3.
Oh, I don't think I liked that movie.
I surprisingly enough liked it.
Is it with Hottie McHotterpants on that?
It's the one with the planet of all men. It's like a prison planet.
Crap, I don't know.
Fucking A.
Michael Fassbender is all alone?
No.
Okay.
It was older than that. It was before... Okay. Let me look it up real quick and you can cut this.
Okay.
Okay, so it was Alien 3 that David Fincher directed, and he was really good in that one.
Have I seen that?
It's the one where it's got the... and I think Forrest Whitaker is in it, too.
Forrest Whitaker? I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
Alien 3, Charles Dutton. Is this...
Charles Dutton. I'm sorry, everyone. That's embarrassing.
No, Charles Dance is in here.
No, I meant, but I got Charles S. Dutton and Forrest Whitaker confused. That's fucking embarrassing, and I'm so sorry.
Oh, I see now.
Now you see.
I thought you just meant you messed up the Charleses.
No.
That is not what happened.
That's not what happened. My white privilege showed its ugly head.
Yes, it did. Okay. I think I've seen this movie, but I don't know.
Anyway, I liked it because it's David Fincher and I have a boner for him.
Fun fact, David Fincher was going to direct this movie and didn't because of a scheduling conflict.
Shut the fuck up!
Nope, I lied.
Damn it.
David O. Russell.
Damn, I was going to say, this doesn't seem like his style, but it would have been cool to see.
It's not. I totally messed that up.
God, you're such a fuck up. A note about the casting. I was looking at the movie cover and I was like, oh, there's Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance and Margot Robbie and Lacey Chabert. Nope, none of those people are in this movie.
Wow, you really messed that up.
I really fucked that one up. Why would Gerard Way be in this?
I don't know.
Or Lacey Chabert. So stupid. I thought she was making a comeback, I guess.
Your casting doesn't make a ton of sense, but I can support it.
Listen, it would have been way better with Gerard Way as Mr. Darcy, right?
Well, anybody but this haphazard Sam Riley, excuse me, I don't know who you are, but you are no Mr. Darcy, sir.
Has he been in anything else?
Yes.
What?
Nothing I have seen. He's in a movie, Control.
Oh.
Which is what they saw him. He's in Maleficent, On the Road.
Oh, I've never seen On the Road.
Okay.
But I know of it.
He's in other things, too.
That no one cares about. Okay.
So, he was in some... Yeah. Anyway. No.
Yeah, he's not hot.
I didn't feel it.
But I thought Miss Bingley was cast perfectly. She looked like a hottie bitch.
Yes.
She was in, she was Mandy Milkovich in, the second Mandy Milkovich in Shameless.
That is Emma Greenwell.
Okay. Oh, she was also in that Hulu series with, you know.
I mean, you can snap at me a few more times.
And it won't help.
She's in True Blood.
She is?
Oh, The Path.
The Path. Thank you.
Yeah, but she's in True Blood a couple episodes.
Okay.
Claudia.
Okay. I don't remember. Anyway. And obviously, Mr. Collins is always a favorite, and he was cast perfectly.
Well, Matt Smith is perfect in everything he does, so.
I'm not a Whovian, so I don't know.
But I know, it kind of pisses me off about it.
I'll try to be for you.
Okay. He was also amazing. In Terminator Genesis with Emilia Clarke.
Oh, was that any good?
Not really.
Got it. Okay.
But he is in The Crown as
Oh, he's Prince Philip, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But his dancing and his sighs of ecstasy throughout the movie just floated my boat so hard.
I was reading that they had to cut a lot of scenes when he's talking, like, with the proposal to Lily James because she couldn't stop laughing.
It was hilarious.
And it's really funny.
He was perfect. That is the way I want to see Mr. Collins for the rest of my life.
If no one can tell, we like the movie better than the book.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even discuss that, but I obviously like the movie better than the
book. Do we want to talk about the book? Are there things you want to talk about?
I barely talked about the book in my notes.
Okay, great. Me either, because the book is stupid. I have differences between the book and stuff, but we can get into that later.
Here's what Aunt Debbie said, because I talked to Aunt Debbie this weekend, actually on 4th of July. Aunt Debbie
Hi,
is the
Aunt
one.
Hi, Aunt Debbie.
Yeah. If you don't remember, she's the one who provides me with amazing mixers. She's the one who gave me that amazing cream soda to go with my vodka.
Didn't she also send us book recommendations that we never did?
Yeah, but we will do them. It's the Field of Dreams book.
Okay.
Which would be a fun one because nobody else has done that one.
It was Field of Dreams? I thought it was something else.
No, it was Field of Dreams.
There was another one with Anthony Hopkins.
Maybe, but there was definitely a Field of Dreams.
Howard's End.
I don't remember her recommending that, but maybe she did. Was it an Instagram comment?
Yeah.
Okay.
But maybe it was her friend. I don't know. I'm down a rabbit hole. Go on.
Anyway, Aunt Debbie said that this was a 250-page joke that she did not have time for. And I was like, you know, Aunt Deb, you are 100% correct.
That is 100% correct.
Yeah, and she said she had a really good point that I kind of never think of. She was like, you know, it just felt like a money-making scheme. And that was kind of sad and true.
But I feel like if you want to read Pride and Prejudice, just read Pride and Prejudice.
Let's get to that in our final thoughts.
Okay. I also don't know. I have it as one of my, because I write down questions for you.
I wrote questions this time also.
Is this book racist?
Yeah.
Or just culturally insensitive?
Here's the thing about that. Can we talk about it in the final thoughts? Because I also have things about class and sexism in it too.
Okay. More than just the Japanese, Chinese quote. Okay, he says Orientals so many times, and I like internally cringe every time he says, oh, those Orientals. And it just.
Yeah, let's talk about this now. This is a major. Okay. Here's my issue with the book. It is mean-spirited.
I thought so.
It doesn't. It's so unkind to the time period, and it's not forgiving of the culture at all. So, yes, Orientals was really horrible, and they brought out a lot of, even in the illustrated history in the movie, which I really loved that they did hint at the xenophobia.
Mm-hmm.
and like you said, the use of the word Orientals, mm-hmm. but also with the idea that women are going to tea to nab a husband, but they have to brave zombies to get there. Mm-hmm. Like, what else were you supposed to do in that time? There was no economic, independent economic mobility. You didn't have a choice. It's a really unforgiving take on the time period, and I didn't appreciate it.
I agree. Yeah. I feel like the original book is such a great social commentary on her time.
Yes, exactly.
And she had points that were made and made brilliantly that stand up.
Yeah.
And I felt like it got shit all over in this book.
I totally agree. And she did it, like, her use of irony is totally famous. Like, mm-hmm. totally famous. And I felt like the book kind of stole that away. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there was something else I read that Elizabeth Bennet was supposed to be the first literary lesbian.
With Charlotte Lucas? Or with who?
It didn't say. It just said because she is so independent and all these other things. And it made, like, I feel like it's such a simple statement, but it doesn't make sense to me.
That's the thing, is I'm fine with a queer character. I think that's
100%.
That's great. However, you have to have text to back that up, and I don't think there's any text.
I feel like you can't just throw that out there, and there's nothing behind it.
There's nothing behind it. If anything, I mean, if you're going to say anything, she was asexual. Not really. I don't think that's true, because she did find Mr. Darcy handsome.
But don't you feel like she's more based on Jane Austen herself?
Absolutely. That she's not going to marry without affection.
Right.
She's not going to do it just for the social and economic gains. And
so I feel like kind of just saying, oh, well, that's because she's a lesbian is kind of a cop out.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, and the stupid thing is that that's an easy thing to understand. Not wanting to marry for any reason other than love.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay.
Sorry. I don't remember ever, like, coming across anything about that or thinking that. But I'm also very innocent when it comes to that kind of thing. Like, I don't think about it because I'm so mired in my own cisgendered heterosexual business.
I saw it in an article today because I've never once thought about it like that.
Me either.
So I didn't know your thoughts on it.
It never crossed my mind, but that doesn't mean anything because I'm the one who gets Forrest Whitaker crossed with that other guy. So.
Charles Dutton.
Charles Dutton.
Forrest Whitaker, the last king of Scotland.
Yes. A.K.A. James McAvoy's wiener. So, yeah. Anyway, back to our point. I just felt like a lot of the book implied that people of the time were stupid, and particularly women. And it's not really fair to hold the era to today's standards, even though some of what they went through was pretty ridiculous. And mm-hmm. Jane Austen points that out, and that's why the book is so great, because it's already been pointed to in a very artistic way.
Okay, so I have a few things before we talk about, like, cinematography and all that.
Okay.
I'm just going to do some little facts about the film.
Okay.
Before we jump all over.
Yeah, let's do it.
So the actresses playing the Bennet sisters would train 5 days a week, and they all did their own stunts.
Ooh, cool.
In the movie, which I thought was cool. Natalie Portman was originally cast as Elizabeth Bennet, but dropped out due to scheduling, and she is still a producer on the film.
Oh, I had no idea.
How cool would it have been if Natalie Portman was in this and Keira Knightley's in the other Pride and Prejudice, since they look so much alike?
Since they were doppelgangers for Princess Amidala.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have Matt Smith and Lily James were dating. We talked about that. Lily James and Bella Heathcott both auditioned for Cinderella, and the role eventually went to Lily.
I read that Lily, and this pissed me off because I wanted to know how tall she was. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I have this weird obsession with figuring out how tall actors are. Anyway.
Yeah, I love doing that.
I read that she went on a liquid diet for Cinderella. because her waist was so tiny, people were pissed. Well, and I read that she
part
actually
of it's CGI.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. When that's she's in the blue dress.
So sick. Why would they do that?
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I haven't seen the movie, but that pisses me off, especially thinking of Sydney and, like, the movies that she watches. I just – that makes me mad.
Yeah. I try to filter out some of what she watches. Like, we don't watch that, but we watch, like, Beauty and the Beast with Emma Watson.
Yeah.
Because she's, like, a normal human.
Human being. And you guys watch Frozen, and those are pretty
– oh, yeah. We watch Frozen a lot. She started singing Let It Go, and she's got the hand motions down like Elsa. It's pretty cute.
Oh, that's adorable. Ethan was singing You've Got a Friend in Me the other day because we watched Toy Story.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Kids are adorable.
Kids are assholes, but they're so cute.
Lily Collins was offered the role of Elizabeth but turned it down.
I get them confused so hard.
I feel like you're not a fan of Lily Collins.
Me?
Are you not a yeah.
I'm not a fan of Lily James. I'm obsessed with Lily Collins. However, after this movie, I now have a very strong affinity for Lily James.
Do you?
I thought she played Elizabeth Bennet and, like, the character from the book. I just thought she played this character so well. She had the right balance of seriousness and humor and like bravado almost. Confidence.
I feel like her movies are 50-50. Sometimes I think she's great and sometimes I hate her.
Did you like her in Downton Abbey?
I did.
I hated her in that.
I didn't at first, but I liked her by the end.
Maybe I just hated the character. That could have been what it was.
Yeah, I didn't like the character, but I thought she did it well. If you're obsessed with Lily Collins, does that mean we can do The Mortal Instruments?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't even know what the fuck that is.
Excellent. Just say yes and go with it. It's a teen book. Don't worry about it.
So it's a, what is that called? A YA.
Yes.
Post-apocalyptic.
No.
Oh.
They fight demons and stuff. It's real cool. They're shadow hunters.
Yes, that's what I want to read, obviously.
Okay, there's like a shadow world that mortals can't see.
Let's do it.
Okay, good, because I really like that book.
Oh, I think I remember the trailer
and the
for
show.
That movie. Okay.
There's a show on...
Stars?
Nope, it's on...
ABC, CBS.
It's like ABC Family, but it's called something else now.
The CW.
It's not called something else now.
The What's WB. On? Fox News.
You're confusing me so
sorry.
Much.
Okay, let's continue with what we're doing right now.
Okay.
So we talked about casting. We got that out of the way.
Wait, I'm not done. I have more things.
Continue, my friend.
I need to see what this is on.
It's on... Oh, ABC Family.
I already said that.
Lifetime. Young Adult Literature Anonymous. 2020.
I'm going to flip you off.
You know that Pretty Little Liars was on ABC Family. Sci-fi.
I can't figure it out.
Yes, you can.
No, it starts with like a Freeform. That's what it's on.
Oh.
Freeform. Okay. But I think it's on Hulu, too, the show, not the movie.
Okay.
Anyway, Lily James read the book in 2 days while filming Downton Abbey. 2 days to read this book. It should have taken longer than that because it's so boring. It should have taken you a month.
It should have taken 2 years. That's what it felt like.
She did say by like page 7 of the script she signed on, which I get that.
The script... Yes.
The screenplay, 100% sign up for that.
Got it. Yes.
This book, throw it in the Downton Abbey fire.
Just chuck it in the fireplace, sister.
David O. Russell was going to direct, but had to drop out.
Can I ask a question about the direction?
Yeah.
Why didn't Tim Burton direct this?
Oh.
This is the kind of thing that makes Tim Burton jizz his pants.
Because then he would have had to cast Johnny Depp.
As Mr. Darcy, he would have been great.
As something.
Oh, he would have been a really funny Mr. Collins.
He would have been.
Yeah.
If he could have worn his gold teeth.
Helena Bonham Carter would have been Mrs. Bennet. Or would she have been Mrs. Lady Catherine de Bourgh?
I would have loved it either way.
See? Not Johnny Depp. Tim Burton should have directed this fucking movie.
I don't know. So there is an alternate ending to this. Have you seen the alternate ending to the movie?
I have not. What is it?
It is at the very end of the wedding, like both couples are making out and they turn and look out and it shows Wickham with a horde of zombies attacking.
Oh, that's
real cool.
That's the only ending I saw.
Oh, mine just went to black.
Did you watch the one that we have on our app?
Yeah.
No, I think you fell asleep.
No, I didn't. I redid yeah, it today.
No. Oh, it's in the credits. That's why.
Okay.
Because it fades to black and then you wait like 30 seconds into the credits. And then you get the four guys in the top hats and Wickham with his stump hand. Yeah.
Four guys in hats.
Yeah, the four guys.
So the four horsemen of the apocalypse?
Yeah, the ones that she sees in the graveyard.
Oh.
Jesus Christ. Did you watch the movie?
Yes.
I don't believe you.
Okay, well, I guess I missed some stuff.
Okay, good. That makes me feel better. I fell asleep the first time I watched it. Anyway, let's continue with what we were talking about.
I did watch this in pieces. Like, I watched it in two pieces.
Huh. Okay.
And this movie really just made me want to watch the Keira Knightley one.
I know. Me too.
There's that.
All right. So are we done talking about casting?
Yeah.
All right.
Super over it.
Okay. So you want me to talk about cinematography?
Yeah.
So cinematography and music. So both were a nice blend of what you would expect from a period movie and an action/horror movie, I thought. We got some beautiful wide-angle shots and close-ups you would usually get from an Austin adaptation. It allows us to get the intimacy of the characters' interactions and shots of the homes and country. And the homes were beautiful. That mm-hmm. is one thing that you cannot miss with an Austen film, especially Pride and Prejudice. You've got to have
If those... you don't want to live at Pemberley, you don't deserve to live.
Exactly. Or even Netherfield. There was some nice saturated color and really deep contrast. The low lighting in the night scenes and the party scenes gave us a nice bridge between period film mm-hmm. and a horror movie, really.
Yeah.
But it also created that really nice intimate atmosphere that we were looking for, or that I was looking for. Mm-hmm. Toward the end, when the zombies are leaving St. Lazarus, the cinematography starts to look almost black and white, which
yeah.
I thought was a really nice nod to the like OG zombie movies of old. Mm-hmm. You get that classic zombie horde and brain frenzy, which is really fun. I honestly barely noticed the music in this movie.
I didn't really notice it.
It was so generic, but it was fine because it wasn't distracting.
Yeah.
It was super generic, though. And like we talked about, I really loved the illustrated history, like the backstory.
That is one of my favorite parts of this whole movie.
Yeah, me too. It looked really cool. And like I said, it hinted at the xenophobia of the time. I almost would watch the whole movie in that kind of illustration.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was so cool.
Yeah, with Charles Dance narrating it.
Yeah, it was great. I loved that part.
I think I loved that it was such a world-building opening scene where in the book you're kind of just dropped into it and you don't know what's happening.
You really are.
Like, you don't know why they're staying there. Like, they're being attacked by zombies. Why are they there? And the movie did such a great job quickly building this world.
Yeah. Because did we even have that in-between section and the whole backstory about the bridge?
And it's been, like, 55 years that this has been happening. And it's never – like, I feel like in the book, it's It's just not there.
It wasn't there at all. It was so flat that it was not, no. Some of the exposition in the movie was a little bit awkward, like when you go into the whist party where they're doing the cards and Mr. Darcy is like...
with his flies?
Doing whatever exposition and Mrs. Featherston's like, yes, I know how it works.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's a little, okay, you know, a little awkward. But the rest of it I thought was good.
Yeah.
So that's all I have about cinematography and music.
Okay. I like that. I really liked this movie. Let me stutter a few more times.
I did too. I've had a bottle of wine, so, you know.
I was going to talk about some differences between the book and the movie. I just wrote down a few. These are definitely not all of them. One thing I had written down is this movie is barely an adaptation of the book. And that's really for the best. It's more like a title adaptation.
Okay. Yeah, totally.
So I have the world building opening scene that's not in there. The zombies are very different. And I like that there's a larger plot to them in the movie. They aren't these just mindless creatures. It takes time for them to change.
Yeah. Yeah, there's still something left of them. Like, Lizzie says that Mrs. Featherston was totally civil before Darcy blows her head off.
Right.
That's interesting.
They encounter multiple of these.
Right.
And that's not how it is in the book.
No, they're just zombies in the book.
Except poor Charlotte Lucas.
That was great.
Charlotte in the book gets infected and somehow Mr. Collins does not notice.
Which was that part of the book was hilarious.
And I guess Catherine DeBerg is sneaking her zombie serum in her tea.
Oh, to Charlotte?
Yeah. So she doesn't change as quickly. She's trying to find like a cure.
Oh, I think I missed that part somehow.
It's towards the end.
Okay.
When she's fighting Lizzie. So when Charlotte does finally change and die, Mr. Collins kills himself. So there's that.
Which is a good alternative because he's so horrendous. But I don't know. He's supposed to be, I don't know. I
like But I his like treatment. Charlotte not changing.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Okay, so then we have Wickham. In the book, Darcy still bribes him to marry Lydia, but he also gets to beat him until he's paralyzed.
Yeah.
And in the movie, he's this great mastermind, and he turns out to be a zombie with a zombie army, and he abducts Lydia and imprisons her.
He's the Antichrist, right?
Yeah.
Because the four horsemen of the zombie apocalypse were going to follow the Antichrist.
Yeah, Wickham's trying to bring on the end of days.
Which I loved that change.
Yes. And I really like, I don't know how I missed it in the original movie, but I watched it on YouTube. I really like that he doesn't die in this big explosion. He survived and he's still like there.
Yeah.
So I thought the movie did a great job. And in the book, wasn't Wickham, he was gonna like kidnap and rape Lydia, and then Darcy beats him, so he's paralyzed, but now Lydia has to change his diapers. Like, I just...
Yeah, I remember her talking about my poor lame Wickham and all that stuff.
And, oh, I've got to go. He soiled himself again.
Yeah. But I will say that's one thing I loved about the book was all the reference to feces. Because there's this
there
scene where...
There was a lot of it.
Where Charlotte Lucas is going to take a dump in the corner of the room and... Lizzie has to stop her, and it was amazing.
There's a whole lot of that. There's a whole lot of vomiting.
It's awesome. That part is good.
All of these not so subtle innuendo things, like Lizzie's got Mr. Darcy's like cannon or like rifle balls, and she's like, here's your balls. He's like, no, they're yours. And there's another section where he's like, Lizzie's great at fingering.
I'm sorry, but maybe it's the sixth grader in me, but that's just hilarious.
It is, but it was like such a sixth grade sense of humor that I'm like, Lizzie's great at fingering. This is what you came up with.
Yeah, I'm sure there it's yeah, it was hasty. Let's be honest.
Here's your balls. No, they're yours. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Those were like the big differences I had.
Yeah. And I loved all the changes, to be honest. Because the thing is, it was so boring in the book because not enough was changed. Yeah. So
it was a rewriting of Pride and Prejudice, like word for word.
Yeah, like, why didn't I just read Pride and Prejudice? The zombie element didn't add anything to the book. It didn't add any stakes or anything like that. Whereas in the movie, Mr. Wickham's scheme is really far-reaching and really interesting.
Fantastic.
And the fact that he pulls the wool over Lizzie's eyes and is the consequences are so dire, that's really interesting, you know, and then they have the big battle and all of that, like, and the cinematography changes through the movie, and those four horsemen in the graveyard were so fucking creepy.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
That's one thing I really loved. There were some decent jump scares in the movie. I was not scared in the book at all.
It wasn't scary.
It was just silly.
It was ridiculous. It's not even like silly funny.
Right.
It was just utter ridiculousness.
It was just nonsense.
It was.
Yeah, I didn't like laugh at all. But in the movie I did, like when Lizzie calls, she leaves the party at Netherfield, and it's right before Mrs. Featherston gets shot, and she calls Mr. Darcy. What does she say? Hold on, sorry. She calls him, fuck, what is it? It's something prick. Which is not something you would see in Jane Austen, and that was hilarious. God damn it. Why didn't I write it down? I don't know. It's something prick, and it's hilarious, and it makes me so happy. And then that jump scare that you get with Mrs. Featherston when Darcy shoots her head off. Mm-hmm. I had to watch that part twice because I didn't make it through the movie the first time. And both times, it made me jump out of my skin.
In that scene, I felt like she was trying to tell Lizzie maybe about Wickham. Is that off base?
What did she say?
She just said, I have to tell you.
Oh, and yeah. Then
she's like, I have something important to tell you. And like, bam, she's dead.
That is genius. I did not make that connection at
it
all.
It happens twice that Lizzie's trying to talk to one of them and Darcy kills them.
That is genius, and I love it. That makes me like the movie even more, and I didn't even realize it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's super. Yeah, I think you're 100% right on base with that one. The undead baby was really creepy that Jane runs into. That was sad.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it had good makeup and effects, I'll be honest. I enjoyed it a lot.
So before we get to final thoughts,
I still have like,
oh great, what do you got?
A lot of stuff.
Oh good.
I have more about the humor. So obviously Mr. Collins was a major source of humor, as always, as he like always he is always in any is. adaptation. The predatory vicar, the one that was inspecting Mr. Darcy at the beginning, and he's like, there's no wounds on his body.
Uh-huh.
That was great. The proposal scene was amazing.
I loved that fight.
Wait, the fight? No, I'm talking about the proposal with Mr. Collins, where he keeps getting on his knee and then standing up and then getting on his knee.
That was great.
Then there were the ridiculous observations when Lizzie and her sisters were all at Netherfield, I think, and they were fighting zombies. And Darcy and Bingley were just standing there. Completely impotent.
Useless men.
Just being so useless and talking about the women like they had any bearing on the situation at all.
I loved when the sisters walk in their little formation.
Okay, I have a question about that. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, so there, do you ever think that when women are put in those poses and put in those like slow motion scenes that they're highlighting the ridiculousness of women being badasses? Sometimes I find it insulting, and then other times I'm not sure if I'm just being.
I took it as like an over, kind of like with them getting dressed and how much they highlight like the weapons on the thighs. I took it as kind of an overly sexualized, but trying to be humorous.
Yeah.
And point that out. Like, I didn't take it as offensive. I felt like it was more just maybe a slap on our society.
I think that's a better way to read it than how I was taking it.
That
I mean, like that better.
Everyone should take it how they want, but I felt like it was a dig at our society like Jane Austen would have done.
Yes.
Yeah. I just like looking at it that way better than you're just insulting and over-sexualizing these women.
Yeah, agreed. It was Insufferable Prick. I finally remembered.
So wonderful.
Yeah, it was great. I loved hearing that coming out of her mouth. Also, like we talked about, there's a lot more sex and bodily functions in the book and the movie. A whole lot. Yeah. And there was a lot of heaving bosom, which I found enjoyable.
So, gotta love a good heaving bosom.
Gotta love a good heaving bosom. So I
wouldn't mind corsets to come back for that reason.
Right? It's just so appealing.
Bring back heaving bosoms.
Dude, my bosom heaves. I don't really need a corset. I have asthma. It's hard to breathe.
I've had a kid. Things don't sit in the same positions they used to.
That's 100% my life as well.
Okay.
So going back to what we were talking about before, one of the major themes, like the most major theme to me in this book is class. Mm-hmm. Like money is survival in this. Right. I mean, even now, but in this time period, like we said before, there's no economic mobility for any of the characters other than marriage.
Right.
You know, that's the only real or inheritance. Mm-hmm. That's the only real way to get ahead. But the treatment of class and marriage in the book felt so unkind, you know, and especially for women. There's no way to make your way. No one wants to be a governess. Let's be honest. Right?
I mean, unless you're in
the turn of the screw.
Yes. Then I wanted to be a governess.
Oh, man. But so as you go through the book, you see Lizzie kind of be bitter. But it makes her bitterness and prejudice totally forgivable to me. Like, I think.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, you've got Darcy, who's been socialized to think he's better than everyone.
Mm-hmm.
He's still an asshole, but it's not totally his fault.
If you're going to think you're better than anyone, you should be hotter.
Well, okay.
Just kidding.
No, you're not. You have a really good point there. But it's really a way of finding certainty in a world that's undergoing all this major change. And like originally in Jane Austen's world, her world was going through major change. But in this book, we have the fucking zombie apocalypse. So I don't know if you can get any more unstable than that, you know?
Yeah.
You don't agree with me.
No, I do. Like, it brought up a question for me. Like, when I was reading the book, it never made sense to me why everyone would just stay there and not go to, per se, China or Japan or Germany, for all I know.
Yeah, see, in the movie, the plague came from the places where British trade was a big deal. So, like, the places where they were getting their spices, their imports.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, where are those? Was that just the colonies in the Caribbean, or was that other places? Like, I don't fucking know.
I don't know. And why are you just staying there? Are there zombies across every nation? Because it's never clear.
Right. And so we have like, this world where we're focusing on marriage and aristocracy because that's really the only structure that's left. Anyway, that was my take on it.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I just don't see the point, to be honest. I was excited to read it, but there's not enough zombie in it. Anyway, are you ready for final thoughts?
No, I have some questions.
Okay, I have questions too.
My first question is, do you think this book is necessary?
No! I kept thinking, why am I reading this?
Okay, good, me too.
Okay, here's my first question. What is the point of armpit high gloves? Like, why the fuck aren't we just wearing a long sleeve dress? Because and then my you second question was, want to
show that tiny piece of skin.
And then my second question was, what is the point in writing this book? And did it add anything to the Jane Austen zeitgeist? The answer is no.
The answer is always going to be no. Some of my questions we already covered, like, do you like the changes? Should Darcy have been hotter?
I love that we already answered each other's questions. That makes me so happy.
One of my other questions is, does Mrs. Bennet have a single redeeming quality? And, okay, I have one other question because I haven't read the original Pride and Prejudice.
I've only read the audiobook, a.k.a. listen to the audiobook.
Does Mr. Bennet hate her that much?
No.
He hated her in this book.
No, that is, I think that's a liberty that was taken.
Okay,
because he has sex with Orientals.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's from the book. That's not my word. Just no, as a warning to everyone. 100%
it is not.
That's like a quote from the book.
Yes. So I love the BBC adaptation. I love the Keira Knightley adaptation. And mm-hmm. I always thought she's ridiculous, but he loves her.
Yeah. And she's not that. I mean, she's ridiculous, but she's not horrible like she is in this book.
She is awful. So my question was, does she have a single redeeming quality? Is it just this book that she's that bad and that everyone can't stand her and she's useless?
I think that she represents the social structure of Jane Austen's time. So okay. I think that she plays 100% within the boundaries of her era. I don't think her character has any other choice.
Okay. This book.
And this book just makes her, it makes really? Fun of her.
Yes.
But I feel like in the source that
her husband, he really does hate her.
Yeah. No, I don't feel like it's that way in the original, like in the source material.
Okay.
I feel like sure. He's, yeah.
Like I said, I've only seen the adaptations. I haven't read the original novel.
I'm glad that you haven't read the original. I've only listened to the audiobook.
Okay. After reading this, I felt like I should read the original.
Me too.
But at the same time, I felt like I just got the worst version of it.
I feel like we know the story so well, though, that it would be hard to make it through the original. Listen to the audiobook on Spotify. It's free.
Oh, cool. Have you seen the BBC adaptation?
I haven't seen. Is that the one with Colin Firth?
Yes.
I haven't seen that one, but I've seen the Keira Knightley version many times. Okay. And it like mm-hmm. gives me a literary boner.
Oh, me too.
Hardcore.
But I love the BBC one so much. I used to have it on VHS. I have it on DVD. I love it.
Okay, I will watch it immediately.
It's like 6 hours.
That makes me happy. Because yeah. I want an adventure when I like am going on these real literary fucking voyages.
It's really long.
And I'm so drunk right now. I'm so sorry. I've had an entire bottle of wine. Okay. So was that all your questions or do you have more?
No, that's all. I couldn't come up with many questions because it's so stupid. I shouldn't be allowed to pick books.
Did you pick this? Because I feel like I picked it. Okay.
No, I did.
I have just as much responsibility in it because I've been wanting to read it forever.
It's been on my list for a really long time. And I hate to say this, even Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer is on my list. And now I don't know.
I'm not going to read it. I didn't like the movie that much, to be honest.
I didn't see the movie.
So, yeah. My only question, because we've covered all my other questions, my only question is, based on Elizabeth's bitterness and observations of the people around her, like her dad and and Mr. Darcy's treatment of Mr. Wickham, even though it was inaccurate, I was half expecting a descent into madness ending with her killing Darcy. Did you expect...
That would have been a twist.
Yeah. Did you expect there to be like a different ending? I was expecting more out of the book. Like a more logical ending.
I don't know what I was expecting. Like, I got through probably 3/4 of the book and it was just a real struggle because I just didn't want to do it anymore.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I skipped 100 pages.
Oh my God.
I skipped from 200 to 300 and I just read the end. And I don't think I missed anything.
I read all of it. I read every single page of this.
You're such a good girl. I'm so proud of you. Are you mad at me?
I mean,
like a little.
I'm a little because I read all of it.
You're fine. You made it out alive. And
I hated a bit of it.
I know. Because it was so worthless. And look, I didn't miss any. I'm just like proving a hypothesis that you don't fucking miss anything if you skip basically the entire book.
If you skip just a little over half of the book, you won't miss anything.
Exactly. Are you ready for final thoughts?
Yeah. This book is ridiculous and I wouldn't recommend it.
You don't say.
However, I do like the movie and I would recommend this movie. But when it comes to the book, I feel like give me zombies or give me Pride and Prejudice. I don't need them both.
Ooh, that's a good observation. I like that.
Like,
go ahead.
Give me World War Z. Give me that book.
I liked the idea of setting zombies in that time period.
I loved it.
I don't think it gave it a fair shake.
It was awful.
It was not good.
I love the idea of Pride and Prejudice with zombies, and it was not done well.
It wasn't fair. I was so disappointed.
It was a word-for-word redoing of Jane Austen.
I have something to say.
Okay.
I thought the movie was a nice, palatable blend of humor, horror, and romance. It felt lighthearted and fun, and it was well acted, I thought. Even though Darcy was not sexy, he was in certain scenes.
I didn't mind him by the end.
Right.
But it took me until the end to not mind him.
Okay, yeah. But that's the path Elizabeth Bennet goes on, so there you go.
Fine.
I liked the liberties they took with the plot. Without the changes, it would have been horrendously boring, kind of like the book.
I don't understand how Pride and Prejudice has never once been boring for me. And I could watch the movie 100 times.
Yeah.
And this just...
Yeah, I agree.
Sucked the life out of it.
I hated the book. It was a waste of time. It was like, just why? I don't know what I'm doing here. But yeah, I agree. I could watch that Keira Knightley version every day.
After I watched this, I watched that.
I need to watch it again.
I really love it.
It's so good.
And I might watch it after we record.
Me too.
Okay.
It is Saturday night and I've had a bottle of wine, so I've got nothing else to do.
I just went in my bedroom. My husband's sound asleep, so I might stay up, keep drinking, watch Keira Knightley with her heaving bosoms.
That's the thing, is there was plenty of heaving bosom in this movie. I feel like, was the treatment that the story deserved.
If this movie was the book, I'd be on board.
Yeah, the book.
But it wasn't.
It was not. The book didn't have enough action. It didn't have enough zombie. It was just like peppered. It was lazy. I'm sorry. It was lazy. The movie is a solid B. The book is a solid F.
I do want to bring up how much cauliflower has moved up in our world. It can now be a replacement for potatoes, rice, pizza crust, and brains. You might have missed that in the book.
I didn't even realize that.
They set traps with cauliflower because the zombies think they're brains and they bite into it and think, brains. So cauliflower has really had the glow up of our generation.
Oh, cauliflower. That's amazing.
Do you like when I laugh at my own jokes?
That was incredible. Because that was part of the 100 pages that I skipped.
Okay. Cauliflower plays a not insignificant part. They set multiple traps with cauliflower and the zombies eat it.
It plays not an insignificant part in the role in the book and the lives of many millennials.
And the lives of many millennials.
You can't speak.
We've gone Don't off the speak. Rails.
This has happened. Welcome All to right. the Lit Flix. Welcome to the Lit Flix podcast, everyone.
Okay.
Did I mention I'm drinking Cortez de Provence?
Yes, Captain Cortez has been mentioned. With his Spanish gold.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Are you done?
Imperialism. Yes, I'm done.
Okay, so if you're reading along with us, our next book will be Ghost World by Daniel Clowes.
I don't care. I'm so excited about Ghost World. I can't even fathom it.
Along with the 2001 movie, and we believe it'll be out in August.
Did you realize that those girls, like Scarlett Johansson was our age when that movie came out? Like when she was filming it, we were the exact same age as her.
Aren't we? So we're the same age as her now?
I think so. I'm confused. We're the same. But I'm just telling you, it's a coming of age tale when we were coming of age.
So I should have watched it when I was coming of age, not when I have already
came of age. Aged.
Yeah.
When you've already aged.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So, like I said, that'll be out probably in a few weeks in August.
Do you really think it'll be that long?
I don't know.
If you can record next weekend, I could do it next weekend.
I don't know that I can next weekend.
You can't. You can't. You can't. You can't. You can't.
Okay. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on our website at thelitflixpodcast.com. We're also on Facebook, that Abby Never Checks, Twitter, and Instagram.
Oh, I hung out with our only Goodreads follower on 4th of July. Her name's Lauren, and she's amazing. Shout out to Lauren. What's up?
What?
Yeah, she's really cool. Facebook,
wait.
our Goodreads. Did you know we have a Goodreads?
Yes. Okay, I'm finishing this, and then we have a discussion to have.
No, let's have the discussion now.
Okay.
We have one Goodreads follower, and I hung out with her on Thursday. She is so cool, and her name is Lauren.
I know her name is Lauren. How did you hang out with her? How did you
She even... is my sister-in-law's best friend.
Oh, my God. Okay.
But it happened organically because Facebook recommended it, and she didn't know who we were. It was perfect. Best way to spend my 4th of July ever.
She follows us on Goodreads, but doesn't know who we are.
She follows us on Goodreads, but didn't know she had already met me.
Oh.
She found us organically through Facebook.
Oh.
Which is amazing and incredible, but we only have one Goodreads follower.
And that is Lauren.
Love you, Lauren. Here's my question. If anybody disagrees with our take on this book, because I know this is a well-loved book and lots of people have read this book. I would love to hear your opinions about why you liked it, because I'm worried that maybe I just missed something.
Like 100 pages of it?
Shut the fuck up. Don't sell me out.
You sold yourself out.
So I just, can you please email us or message us or DM us or whatever the fuck you want to do? Because I just need to know why you liked this book. And I'm not like wanting to argue. I just want to know the reasoning behind it.
Yeah, I would like that. Because okay. I don't think either one of us liked this book in any way.
No, I hated it.
I even read every page of it. I did Good enjoy the you. Cauliflower Brains.
That is cool.
Okay. So please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode.
Cheers, bitches.